Hi there. Welcome to C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about us, check out our website, c3church.hk. Enjoy the message and God bless.
Now, last week, the Apostle Paul, he said this, if you do these things, God will promise to fill you with his peace. And it's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that it's beyond your ability to understand and comprehend. But what were those things that the Apostle Paul was talking about? It was things like, don't worry about anything. Rather, pray about everything. Be thankful in all things. Be content about anything and always think about good things. And these were some of those habits that we saw in Philippians chapter 4 last week that will profoundly impact your life. Now, it's not just knowing these things. Paul says you've got to put these things into practice. In verse 9, he says, put them into practice. And it reveals something very important. For every promise in the Bible, and there are thousands of them, there is a premise. There is a condition. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that all these promises will come to pass. There's a premise for every promise. Amen? And today we're looking at a habit that arguably opens the door to one of the greatest promises you will find in the Bible. And it's God's promise to meet your every need. Now let's look at our text today. It's Philippians 4. We're looking at verses 15 to verses 19. I'm sharing today from the New Living Translation. And Paul says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your generosity. Generosity is not going to leave you with less. Rather, it's going to give you so much more. It rewards you with so much more. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 18, at the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. We're getting to the end of the book of Philippians. These are Paul's final words. And he closes with one of the greatest promises you will find in the Bible, where God promises to meet your every need, to supply all your needs. Look at it in the Message translation. It says, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity exceeding your generosity is what it means there. In the glory that pours from Jesus. Now, look at the word everything. It's underlined. It's the Greek word pass. And do you know what it means? It means everything, anything, every time, anytime. That's what it means in the Greek. And God says, I will meet your every need in life. And that is an amazing promise in the scripture. Now, when I read that, it causes me to think and even ask myself, well, why then are there so many Christians who still have so many needs? In fact, many of them don't seem to be getting many of their needs met, let alone all of them. Well, it's because there is a premise for every promise in the Bible. There is a condition for every promise in the Bible. And this promise in verse 19, it is not for everyone. It's not even for every Christian. So who is it for? Well, let's look at the context. The context makes it very clear. First of all, the passage that we just read, it was all about generosity. Verses 15 to 19. Paul's talking all about generosity. And then the book of Philippians, it's called the book of joy. That the whole book is about one church being outrageously generous. They weren't a wealthy church. In fact, there was a lot of poverty in that church. Yet they took up an amazing offering. And then one of their members, Epaphroditus, he traveled 1,300 kilometers from Philippi all the way to Rome to bring this financial offering to Paul, who was in prison. He was not just in prison, he was chained to a prison guard 24/7. Back in those days, when you were in prison, they didn't feed you, they did nothing. If you died in prison, they didn't care. You needed family and friends to provide for you just so you could survive. And no other church did anything for him, but the Philippian church, they generously brought this amazing offering. And then Paul also talks about the Philippian church. They were the most generous church in the New Testament. Paul even boasts about that church to the Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, look what Paul says. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters in the Corinthian church, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches." That's the church in Philippi and some of the surrounding areas. He says, "In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." How do you say those two things in the one sentence? Where rich, where extreme poverty can well up in rich generosity. It doesn't make sense to the mind, does it? But then Paul, if you read on, he explains how in extreme poverty, how it can rise up in rich generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, Paul says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever gives or sows generously will reap generously." Now look at verse 8. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." Now listen. That word "all," it's the same word "pass." It's the same word "pass," which means everything. It means every time, anytime, everything, anything. And I love to preach this in particular to this church, because C3 Church Hong Kong, if there's one church that I want us to become like, it's the Philippians church. They were not extremely wealthy people at all, but they were so rich in generosity. They gave richly out of what they did have. They were always one of the first churches to give, always one of the first churches to share. And it attracted the grace of God upon that church, where they're able to abound in every good work. Amen. So this promise, where God meets your every need, it's for the generous. That's the premise, the condition to walk in this promise. You need to be a generous person. And Paul, he's closing out this amazing book with this habit, this final habit of generosity. And if you want to be happy, if you want to be full of joy and a happy person, you're going to have to learn this Christ-like quality called generosity. Proverbs 11:17 says, "The kind and generous man benefits himself." You know, God has designed all of life so that whatever you give, you get it back. What you sow is what you reap. You'll reap harvests in your life. If you need more energy, don't just start loafing on the couch and lying down there thinking, "I'm gonna." No, you go out and exercise. You go out and expend. You go spend some energy, and you will get some energy into your life. That's how you will get some energy. Not by lying on the couch watching TV, but by exercising. That's the principle in life. If you give out praise, you will reap praise. If you gossip, complain, and you're always criticizing, that's what you will reap in your life. If you need more wisdom, if you need more time, why don't you start each day with God? Give the very beginning of your day to Jesus. You pray and you read the Word of God, and you will find miracles taking place every day. You'll just have time to get everything done. And you'll have the wisdom of God flowing into your life to make the decisions that you need to make. You won't be spending all day, all night, and getting to the end of the week, and there's still only half of the things that you've completed that you need to get done. It's amazing. When you give the very beginning of each new day to God, He will honor you with time, with His wisdom. Amen. So the kind and generous man benefits himself. And today I want to look at five benefits of generosity. Five benefits of generosity. You've got the notes. They're on the computer. If on the website, you just download them. If you haven't done that, you can just take them down in your little cell phone. Don't look at your text. Just be writing things. And if you got a pen and paper, the old style, write them down in your book, but take notes. If you write a few things down, you will remember so much more than just trying to, you know, listen to it. At the point of listening to a message, it sounds good. But then you can walk out the door within an hour, you can forget so much of it. Amen? So five benefits of generosity. Number one, every time I give, I understand what matters most. Paul says in Philippians 1:10, I want you to understand what really matters. Do you know how I use my time and how I use my money reveals what really matters most to me? Or you. You can say a lot of things with your mouth, but it's what you spend your time and your money on that reveals what you truly value the most. You know, it's universally accepted in the church. The greatest way to demonstrate what matters most to a person is generously giving out of their life. And one of the reasons is because in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, mammon, or money, is the god of this world. That's what matters the most to so many people in the world. And they'll do everything to get money, and they'll do everything to hold on to it, most people. So when a follower of Jesus, a believer, gives out of that God of the world, gives their money into the kingdom of God, into the work of God, my goodness, it shows so much about that person. It reveals that, hey, they know what really matters in life. But church statistics state that only 1 in 4 Christians actually do give generously. Only 1 in 4. It aligns with the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is all about your capacity to hear from God, and only 1 in 4 actually hears from God. And it talks about so many things that prevent a Christian or a person from hearing from God. But here is 4 key reasons why people or Christians will not give generously. Number one, some of them are just new. And they're pretty new in their walk with Jesus. And therefore, they're still on that pathway just to understanding what this is all about. And they're still understanding salvation and what really matters most to God. Secondly, some are fearful. And they fear if they give, well, there will be less for them. So they're still learning to trust in God. Then we have other Christians who just simply overextend themselves. They put so much of their money in buying things and buying things on credit that they spend the majority of their money making repayments. So there's just simply nothing left to give into the house of God. And then there's the 4th reason, which is worldly greed. Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. I did a little bit of research on that because Jesus says all kinds of greed. And there's 4 kinds of greed. First of all, you got the stockpiler. That's the type of person who is diligently saving every single month. And saving is a good thing to do. But this person, they're saving and saving, and they feel they cannot be generous because they need to save as much as they can for their retirement. And they will never be generous or give until they feel they've got enough. But every year that keeps increasing more and more. And these people, they're insecure and they trust in money rather than trusting in God. Then you've got the overspender. This is the type of person that confuses needs with wants. And they end up spending so much more than what their incomes allow. So they're impatient and their sense of value comes through possessions. Then you've got a covetous person. And this is where greed feeds this competitive desire to have the style and the status of other people. These people are driven by pride, ego, envy, conceitedness and vanity and all those types of things. Then you've got entitlement, where people believe the world or other people owe me something. And you feel the right to have something. And what this does, it leads to a lack of gratitude in your life. You're just not grateful for the things that you have. And you're always wanting more. But every time you give generously, you are breaking the grip that greed has over your fleshly, carnal nature. And it shows that you understand what really matters. And you see, when you give into the house of God, when you bring your offerings, when you tithe into the church, what it means is that we can hire facilities, we can hire staff to preach the gospel and to win the lost. It means we can disciple and develop people. We can disciple and develop volunteers. We can raise up leaders to raise up more volunteers and leaders. It means we can minister to the entire family. Instead of squeezing everyone into this one little room, kids and little toddlers and babies, it means we can hire multiple ballrooms, and we've got the kids in the room back there, or little toddlers. Then we have on the fifth floor another room so that the kids can be ministered to up there. It means we can be charitable to the elderly, to the disadvantaged in our community. You see, these are some of the things that really matter so much to God, and God wants them to matter to you. And every time you give into your church, you understand what really matters. Amen. Secondly, every time I give, I become more like Jesus. I become more like Jesus. That's because God is not just a generous God, but that's who He is. The Holy Spirit is a generous spirit. Jesus is generous. That's who they are. The Bible says every good thing that you have in your life, it's not because of you. It's because of the generosity of God. Church, don't carry this mindset where you think everything I have is because of me and the hard work that I've done. You see, the very air that you're breathing, it's a gift from God. The talent and the abilities that you have, the gifts that you have, it's a gift given to you. You were born with so many of them. And then, yeah, you had to develop those gifts and you had to study and you had to train and all that. Yeah, but all those opportunities to get an education, those opportunities to develop your giftedness, the very jobs that you were given, they were given to you by God. Everything you have right now is because the gracious God of eternity has given it to you. So never carry this prideful spirit that, well, it's because of me and it's how good I am. It's got nothing to do with you, but everything to do with God. Amen. Every time I give, something grows stronger on the inside of me. Look what Paul says in Philippians 1:11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The more generous you are, the more like Christ I become. Every time I am generous, the Spirit of Christ grows stronger, and the fleshly, carnal, selfish nature of humanity, it begins to decrease. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. And that has to be your mantra, where your natural selfish nature decreases and the generous nature of God, the generous spiritual, the Spirit of God within you, it begins to increase. You see, the world is becoming more self-centered, more narcissistic, more selfish, and more greedy. But generosity, it dissolves greed, it dissolves that spirit, and it replaces it with the attitude of Christ. And it's not just a once-off thing, but as you develop the habit of generosity, every time you give, every time you're generous, it's developing that spirit of Christ within you. It's starving the flesh and it's feeding the spirit. Amen. Let me tell you the key. Action is the key. You can think about all this. You can sit in church and you can hear and think about it, but that does not change you. You've got to be doing. Paul says, put it into practice. It's choosing to act. That's what brings the transformation in your life. The more you do it, it becomes a habit. Look at this little model up on the screen. This is how you become more like Christ. You've got to hear it. You're right now, you've done the first step. You've at least come to church where you're hearing the word of God. But that's not enough. You need to do more than hear it. You have to accept it. Do you know there are so many Christians, they hear but they don't accept because they don't like the message. They don't like the message of giving. They don't like the message of generosity. They don't like the message of having to forgive that person that offended them. There's so many things. The Christian life is hard because it's countercultural to the way of the world. But you've got to accept the word of God. So you're hearing it and then you've got to accept it and then you've got to step out and act upon it. That's what brings transformation. You see, that's how you create the habit. It doesn't matter what you hear if you never accept it and never act upon it. You're no different from the person who doesn't even come to church. You see, God will actually judge you more strongly. Why? Because you have at least heard the word of God. That's one of the parables of Jesus, where it's the person who knows what they should do, but they don't do it. That's even tougher than the unbeliever who doesn't even know. So you've got to step out. You've got to accept it and act. And every time I give, the nature of Christ, it grows within me. But there's something else that is growing. Point three, every time I give, I strengthen my faith. I strengthen my faith. Get that model back up on the screen. Thank you. Hear, accept, act, habit. You see, acting on your faith is what grows your faith. You've got to do something with it. You've got to step out. You've got to trust. And it's scary at times. That's where you need courage and boldness. One of the reasons God gives you boldness is so you can trust him. It's so that you can step out boldly and just be a believer who has faith in God. Thinking will not grow your faith. Thinking about something, it won't. You've got to step out and act. Peter stepped out of the boat. The other 11 disciples were sitting in the boat thinking about it, but Peter stepped out of the boat and he's the one that walked on water. Thinking is good. Thinking is positive, but thinking is just pointing you in the right direction. Acting is what gets you moving in the right direction. Amen? Now, look what Romans 10:17, it says, it won't come up on the screen. It says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And I want to break this down with this other little model. You see, this is how faith works in your life. Faith is initiated by hearing the word of God. Faith is activated by declaring the word of God. But faith is demonstrated by doing the word of God. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Paul says, put it into practice. You know, Mary and I, we're teaching our 16-year-old son this all the time, especially when it comes to giving. You know, we'll give him money, $100 here and $200 there and whatever. And we say, okay, Jake, every time we give you money, we want you to take 10% of that and we want you to give it to God. Give it to God. So sometimes he's giving $10 to God. Sometimes he's giving $20 to God. And sometimes he just takes all of it and gives it all to God. You know, in Vision Builders, he's been saving money over the years. And in Vision Builders, a 16-year-old boy gave $10,000 to God. That's amazing for a 16-year-old boy, because he could have bought so many Xboxes with that. He could have bought so many things, but we're just so proud of him. But we teach our son Jake, hey, you've got to learn to act on the Word of God. And right now, you trust in mum and dad, because we do everything for you. We feed you. We put a roof over your head. We buy the clothes that you can wear every day. But a day is going to come, Jake, where you can no longer trust upon us. You need to start trusting in your Heavenly Father. And the only way you can trust in your Heavenly Father, if you start practicing now. And it comes, and when it comes to financial trust, you start giving, you start tithing, take 10% and just give it. And when you're only 16 years old and you develop it then, it's so easy. I learned to tithe when I was in university. God blessed me with a scholarship. So I tithed my scholarship. And I have never been in want at all in my life. 6 months to go on my university degree, one of the largest accounting firm in the world, Price Waterhouse, calls me up and says, hey, we got a job for you. Oh, I've still got 6 months to go. Don't worry. Come work for us and just finish it off. So that's what it does for you. It just keeps the abundance and the blessing of God just does everything for you. In fact, God gets things sorted out. You're not worrying and fearful about things. Why? Because you've learned to be generous from a very early age. And this is what Paul says in the Bible. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. So Paul says, yes, you got to think on the right thing. And thinking points you in the right direction. But then Paul goes on to say, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Thinking the right thing points you in the right direction. But then when you act it out, that's putting it into practice. Amen. Generosity is always something you must do. You cannot just be generous in thought. It must be an action. Oh, well, I can just love in thought. I can just love in my heart. Well, try that on your wife next time it's the anniversary or her birthday. You say, I'm just going to love you in my heart, and you don't buy her a gift. You watch how far you get. And all the wives said, come on, ladies, I'm setting you up to, anyway. Number four, every time I give, I invest in my eternal home. You know, Jesus, he says this 6 times in scripture, 6 times, and every time Jesus says it, he's speaking specifically about financially giving on this side of life, not the other side of life. Now, if Jesus says it 6 times, you need to listen. You need to listen if he said it once, but if he says it 6 times, you need to listen. And what Jesus is talking about is this phrase, storing up treasures in heaven. That's how he says it. 6 times he says, storing up treasures in heaven. And the reason he says it is because you will spend, if you're healthy and you look after yourself, 80 to 90 years in this life, okay? But then you've got eternity in the next life. So you just do the maths. Eternity, 80 years. What do you think you should be focusing on and preparing yourself for the most? Eternity. Number one, you've got to get yourself there. But Jesus says, every time you give, you are storing up treasures in heaven. How do we invest in heaven? There's only one way. It's by investing in people who go there. Only 2 things on earth will last forever. One is the Word of God, but the other is people. And they'll end up in one of 2 eternities, either heaven or hell. 2 eternities. People think, oh, eternity in heaven, but then if I don't go there, no, it's 2 eternities, heaven or hell. Think that through. And when you understand that, you'll become very passionate about getting as many people into heaven as possible. We need to be investing in these two things. We need to be investing in getting the word of God out, and we need to invest in getting people into heaven, getting the word out and people into heaven. And the way you invest, it's with your time, it's with your talents, and it's with your money. Now look at this. Money will give you the maximum return. Money gives you the maximum return. You see, your time or talent is limited by your ability. Screens, thank you. Time is limited by your availability, but money is limited by neither. Your money can be working for God 24/7. And let me illustrate this. You might not be able to preach. You might not have this gift of being able to preach and communicate the gospel to other people. You might not be able to sing and worship lead. You might not be able to lead a connect group. You might not be able to go on China missions. You might not be able to teach in college. You might not be able to teach kids up there on the fifth floor. There might be so many things you cannot do because you either don't have the time or you don't have the talent to do it. But you can do every single one of those things every time you give into the house of God. When you bring your tithe into the house of God, you participate in everything that is happening. Even though I might be preaching, you are participating in that because you're bringing your tithe. You're participating in the training, in the education of the kids up there in children's church because you're bringing your tithe into the house of God. Every team that goes into China and baptizes people and leads those people to Christ, you're participating that. Why? Because you're giving and tithing into the house of God. You see, your money can be working 24/7 simply because you're sharing and giving into the house of God. You know, once a Christian used to be in this church, came up to me and he said, "Pastor, I'll give you my time. I'll give you, I'll serve, but I'm not going to give any money." And I just thought, oh, how short-sighted. How short-sighted is that type of thinking? But it's also a sign of seven things. It's a sign of idolatry where he loves money more than God. Because I want to use everything I've got for God and for his purpose. But it's also a sign of a lack of faith in God's spiritual laws. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. What you sow is what gets clean. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That's the spiritual law of God. But it also shows a lack of trust in God's word, because God's word says, "I will provide for you." And when you are not generous and when you don't give, you're not believing that God will care for you. It's a sign of self-interest, a lack of Christ-likeness, and it quenches the Holy Spirit. But also, it's a lack of love for the church of God. Look what Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 4:17. "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more will be credited to your account." Is that more will be credited to your account. You see, you have a spiritual account. And every time you sow, every time you give, you're storing up treasures in this spiritual account. And Paul, he says in 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19, "Tell the rich to use their money to do good." In fact, the King James Version says, "Command the rich to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them." You see, some people have speaking and communicating and singing gifts, and they share those gifts in the house of God. Others have leading and shepherding gifts, and they share those gifts in the house of God. Other people have the gift of money and the gift of giving. And once again, it needs to be shared in the house of God. You've got that wealth so that you can be generous and share it in the house of God. And then look what Paul says in verse 19. "By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven." For themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. There'll be a day when we're all in heaven and you will all see what you did with everything you had on this earth, and you get to use it in heaven. But there'll be some little widows who didn't have much, but because they gave so much, they're going to be great in the kingdom of God. And then there'll be very wealthy people, millionaires and billionaires, that just did nothing for God's kingdom, even though they believe in God, and they'll be in very average positions because they didn't use what they were given for the kingdom. Finally, every time I give, I am pleasing to God. Every time you give, every time you're generous, God says, "That's my boy. That's my girl." You know the saying, like father, like son? God wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like Jesus. And when you do give, when you are generous, you are becoming like your heavenly father. Do you know, parents, as a parent, when you got a young child, you're so happy when they share. You're so happy when they give and when they share their toys with their siblings or with friends. Aren't you happy? But when they fight and they don't want to share, you're so unhappy. Oh, what's wrong with you? Come on, let's share. And God is the same with you and I. The same way that parents teach their kids to share and to be generous, God wants to teach you to share and to be generous. Because when God sees his children sharing and being generous with one another, God thinks, look at that. They're catching my spirit. They're becoming more and more like Jesus every time they step out. Philippians 4:18 says, Paul is speaking, "The gifts that you sent me, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Every time you give, it pleases God. It brings a huge smile upon his face. And that's because when you are generous, it shows that you really know what matters. It shows that you're becoming more and more like Jesus. It shows that you are growing and strengthening in your faith. It shows that you're investing in your eternal home. Every time I'm generous, I am pleasing to God. And that's when God promises to meet your every need. Philippians 4:19, and this is in the NIV translation, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19, let's keep it up on the screen. Such an amazing promise. Such an amazing promise. You need to memorize this promise. Come on, let's all say it together after me. "And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Do you know that's how you memorize scripture? You don't memorize by reading, you memorize by hearing. That's what meditation is. It's thinking and speaking the word of God. When you go to university, they'll say you got to read and memorize it. But in scripture, you memorize by hearing. You need to be hearing yourself saying it, because that's how faith is activated. Faith comes, it's initiated by hearing, but it's activated by speaking. And when you begin to speak it out, that's when you catch the revelation in your heart, and then you can step out and start acting in faith. So memorize scripture by saying it to yourself. You know, when you read the Bible, you should be reading it aloud to yourself. Don't just sit at a desk. Now, if you're on an MTR or someone with lots of other people, maybe you just got to read it so you're not constantly disturbing everyone. But when you're in a place by yourself, read the word aloud so you hear yourself saying the word of God. Amen. But look at this scripture. You know, when you're worried, call upon that promise, "My God shall supply all my need." When I need wisdom in my life, "My God shall supply all my need." When I'm unhealthy and I'm sick, "My God shall supply all my need." This promise, it's not just financial need, it's every kind of need. If you need a husband or a wife, "My God shall supply all my need." Hey, come on. Step out and act on it. Hey, if you need a promotion, "My God shall supply all my need." But there's a condition. It's a promise for the generous. I want to close with the two ways to be generous. And one is the world's way and one is God's way. The world's way is based on reason. That's where I give based on what I think I can afford. And it takes no faith at all. Absolutely no faith at all. But you know what? It won't come up on the screen. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you give, it needs to be a step of faith because faith is what is pleasing. And that's why God wants you to tithe. It takes faith to tithe. Trust me. It really does. Some people, it might not because it might not be much. Every time Mary and I tithe, it's a step of faith every single time. And for most people, it's a step of faith. But the God's way of giving, it's by revelation. Because God tells you, this is what I want you to give. It's a revelation in your heart, and you give based on what he tells you to. And that takes faith. That's God's way of giving. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, put everything you have heard into practice. I want to encourage you right now to put this into practice.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message and look forward to having you enjoy us next time. God bless.